This week's episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Wendy Muller, Sean Hall, Andrew Hopkins, and our newest top-tier producer, Mike Spittler.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
But I can't do this alone. We need backup.
We're going to form a super duper fucking group.
It's time to get back on LinkedIn.
Meet Bedlam.
My name is Shatterstar.
Domino, I'm lucky.
Luck isn't a superpower.
It's certainly not very cinematic.
Yes, it is.
Let's meet in the middle and say no, it isn't.
Fuck it. It's showtime.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants, putting suckers in fear. Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to my bass go boom. Damn it.
You're no fucking hero. You're just a clown. Dressed up as a sex toy.
So dark. You sure you're not from the DC universe?
Bring it on, One-Eyed Willie.
Your bullets, they're really fast.
And last but not least,
Peter.
Any power you want to tell us about?
I don't have one. I just saw the ad.
Susquehanna Rodriguez says, go see Deadpool. The rest of you fuckers, fuck you.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth. With Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effing Ira Malcolm.
We have no bad blood between us.
Bad blood.
Jeff, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm okay. How are you?
What is that song? That's. Oh, I got to find it before.
I know. What is that?
What's that?
Wait, Jeff? Which one? The one that you're singing bad? That one?
Hang on. I'm trying to figure it out here.
I was singing the Tetris theme song.
No. Uh-oh. I was doing a... Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
My mom used to be so...
Axel F?
My mom used to be so addicted to that game.
What, Tetris?
Yes.
All right.
What's the Tetris theme?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, so... Radio Labyrinth Radio coming at you. Neil Sedaka and Elton John, Bad Blood from 1975.
It could have been me, but it was you. Who went that beat off a little bit more than could you? You said you had me, but you've been had.
Everybody likes Neil Sedaka. Who doesn't like Neil Sedaka? Autumn, do you even know who Neil Sedaka is?
I do know who Neil Sedaka is.
I don't believe you.
I do.
Bad blood.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is episode 126. I'm your rocketist DJ, Tim Andrews, here rocking the hits, the gold, the platters, spinning the hits. You ever want to see a funny video, go to YouTube, type in Neil Sedaka, Midnight Special, and the song Bad Blood, the short little weirdo. He wrote a lot of songs, though. He worked out at the Brill Building with Carole King, and they wrote a string of hits for black artists. Anyway.
They're just artists, Tim.
Well, back in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. How dare you?
All these artists, they am I getting a piece of that? Yeah, they wrote these songs, and then the talent, the singers would perform, and then I got a dime out of it. And then the Italian guys who would go into making music, they all got taken advantage by the mafia. Anyway,
hey, welcome to episode 126. My name is Tim. There's Jeff.
Howdy.
And, of course, Autumn.
Hello.
Stephanie is
fucking
off this
Steph.
Week. Hey. She's allowed a day off. Don't you?
She got to take care of dogs or something.
Don't you besmirch Stephanie, okay? And we have a cake here, and I'll explain why we have a cake. It's all cut up now. It's a cookie cake. Jeff's famous for making these. He slaves over them all day long. These cookie cakes.
This is a Publix. I tried to get him to write cum on it, but they wouldn't.
I don't know what that is. That's a bad word. Cum.
Magna cum laude.
Magna cum loudly. So we have a guest tonight. Let's see. This guest, if you were a regular guys, TRG 3.0 listener, you would be very familiar with him. If not, sorry. But you should get to know him. He has been performing comedy in the Atlanta scene since about 2006. His act consists of observational material about his life, family, and what's going on in the world, combined with a storyteller persona. His podcast, which is a live show that used to be daily, and we'll find out if it still is, the Boochcast, was created in 2008, and it went through five different revivals and hosting sites, and it won Best Podcast of 2010. I'd like to hear more about that. As I said, this guy was part of the Regular Guys show from 2010 to 2014. He rejoined with a certain TRG host. Yeah, screw it, Larry. From July 2017 to November 2017, voted Best Comedian Atlanta by the readers who can't read the word readers of Creative Loafing magazine in 2011, and star of Daytime Fighting League on AdultSwim.com, Vinny Bucci.
Is the Booch.
I finally arrived.
You finally arrived.
We've been talking about having Bucci on the podcast since first episode.
Yeah, since its inception.
Yeah, I know, and I'm just excited we can finally make it happen. You know, the stars are finally aligned, the schedules are finally intact, right. And we're here. I'm finally excited to be part of this.
You got the night off at Lowe's?
I had to work this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I worked this morning, ran home, took a shower, got dressed, and came here.
Now, do they know that you're reading a car?
Some of my coworkers do, but it hasn't gotten around the whole store yet.
All right, we'll get to that in a second.
So the cookie cake I brought in had a rendering of a Ford Festiva on it.
That's right.
It was great. I love it.
Vinny, you know, I saw Vinny every day, I think, for 4 years maybe, right?
Yeah, 4 years, definitely.
God damn, every single morning. And then you had your compadre, Jerry Truman, who won't follow me on Instagram, even though I like all of his pictures. For some reason, he doesn't like me anymore, and I want to know why.
I don't know either. If he doesn't know you're following him on Instagram, I'll let him know. He'll probably come follow you.
Well, it's hard to figure out who it is when I click like because it just says Tim Andrews.
Good point.
It says in your bio here that you were the best comedian in Atlanta. Voted by readers of Creative Loafing in 2011.
Yes.
How did that come about?
A variety of things. I remember it was basically just people could vote online, and I remember when we were on the Regular Guys show, Larry was trying to get the show to get voted by the best.
Right.
So he was making a list of nominations of things like for best show, pick the Regular Guys. For best DJs, he put Larry, Steve, yourself, and Eric.
Right.
So for best comedian, he put Vinny Bucci. Obviously, because I'm a comedian, I'm part of the show, and I think that was kind of a big moment. I think a lot of the Regular Guys fans went online and voted for me.
Yeah.
The crazy part is I didn't even know I won until I got a phone call from Joe Pettis.
Oh yeah.
Creative Loafing didn't even tell me I had won, because they have a readers pick and a staff pick. So the staff picks somebody else, and the readers pick me. I didn't get a call to. Apparently, they had some kind of party for the winners. They didn't give me an invite. I did not get an invite to this party. What a bunch of dicks. I know. I literally was at work. My phone rings. It's Joe Pettis. And I said, hey, what's up, brother? He goes, hey, I just wanted to call and say congratulations. I'm like, okay, thank you. I don't want to be rude, but just out of curiosity, what am I being congratulated for? He goes, you don't know? I'm like, I have no idea. He goes, you just got voted best local comedian. I'm like, holy crap, by who? He goes, the readers. And I was like, damn. Like I was blown away. Like, it was amazing. I even wrote how humbled I was to receive that honor, because I never thought, because there's so many funny comedians in Atlanta, and it's so hard to compete with those guys.
I think Joe's won that.
Joe won that the year before.
Yep.
He won the year before. So
we had Joe on this year.
Yeah, we had Joe on the podcast.
Yeah, so,
and Josh Warren. Do you know Josh?
I don't know if I met him. I might have met him once and just didn't even know it.
Pretty funny guy.
Yeah, because I meet so many in passing. So when he gave me the number, I was just blown away. The info, I was just blown away.
Wow.
And I thanked him, and you know, my name's still up there. There's just no bio on me, but they at least acknowledged, hey, he won the award. And I just I thank the fans because I knew they were the reason I got it.
Hey, quick, raise your hand if you've ever been in Creative Loafing as a winner of the best something. Oh, it looks like two people have their
hand. Autumn, is your hand up?
Oh,
no.
Ha-ha. No, not. You have to rub it in.
Rub it in, rub it in. I got best billboard 1 year.
Cool.
For the belly guy. You couldn't see my face, just my gut.
Oh, hey, it's still a win.
That's right. They took a picture of me in the turlet, and then somehow it ended up on the billboard. You remember that, Jeff?
Yep.
Oh,
those billboards were all over.
I know they were. I was the one who had to sit in the office and field all the complaint calls.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Did you tell them it was your belly?
No, no. I had to explain to my children why there's a shirtless man. I'm sorry, ma'am. We'll look into it. So we're going to keep it loose.
If you wanted to see a shirtless man, just look on your porch.
Yeah, bitch. I'm out there.
Hey, there's plenty of shirtless pics of me on social media somewhere.
Oh, I know there are. let's see. So we're going to do our usual thing, and then, Vinny, if feel free to weigh in, and then we'll get right into the interview. First off, we have an announcement. Jeff, would you like to make that announcement, or shall I?
You can.
All right.
I'm eating my cookie.
So July 22nd, what day of the week is that?
Sunday.
That is a Sunday. We are doing a live show. Where? Atlanta Pizza and Gyro.
Gyro.
Autumn, I wish we had the technology to wire you in.
I know. Maybe I can come down.
Yeah.
You would come down just for that?
I mean, I might. I know we're traveling at the end of July, so I might be able to make it.
That'd be awesome. And then you could come on the Doctrine, which is
Toots.
Also very important.
So
anyway, this will be a live show, July 22nd, Atlanta Pizza and Gyro.
Gyro.
I know, Gyro. 5 p.m. To whenever. Now, actually, it's the live recording will begin at 6. We're going to do a 5 to 6 meet and greet with... Patreon patrons only. Thank you very much. And we will be checking your ID at the door. This Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is 1565B Highway 138 Southeast in Conyers, Georgia. That zip code, in case you're writing it down, is 30013. So again, Atlanta Pizza and Gyro.
Gyro.
Uh-huh. 6 to whenever, live recording. Please come out. It's free. And we'd love to have you. And again, we will be sending a message out to all of our patrons. And while we're on that, we'll just go ahead and do that right now. I'd like to welcome two brand new patrons to the Radio Labyrinth patron family. We have Stephanie Kaminsky and Emily Warren. So thank you, ladies, very much for joining up and supporting Radio Labyrinth. Now, you can ask yourself, how do I support Radio Labyrinth? Well, it's very simple. You go to...
How do I support Radio Labyrinth?
Jeff, you support it just by being here.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
I brought a cookie off.
And cookies. And you do a lot of behind-the-scenes work that people don't know about. Jeff is the de facto producer of this show. So, go to patreon.com/TimAndrews and, peruse it. I have some cookie in my throat.
Drink some water.
Cookie throat.
I think I got a chocolate chip in my...
Cookie Monster would be very ashamed of you.
Epiglottis.
I know. He wolfs those down. He never coughs or anything.
He doesn't have an epiglottis.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you had that taken out back when we were in college.
No, that snoring for snoring or something?
No. I had that as my gallbladder.
Oh, yeah. Your epiglottis.
Your gallbladder makes bile, stored in your pancreas.
But I do know this.
Yeah?
You got to take care of your uvula.
Yeah, it'll behoove you to take care of your uvula. All right, so the Radio Labyrinth Patreon Radio roll call starts now. Thank you very much to Top,
not bottom.
No, top patron.
Oh, top patron. Okay. I thought it was a person named Top.
No.
What up, this Top?
This one, Wendy Baller. Wendy Baller, yo. She's number one.
Wendy Mother.
Oh, hells yeah. Now, moving down the list. Haley. Ooh. Robert Haley. Robert Haley's Comet. You know, I'm not doing this in a voice. What voice should I do, Vinny?
You were doing it
Howard
in...
Howard Stern.
No, I'm not doing it. I don't do good Howard Stern. Not a sustainable one.
What about that guy in the guy from Kiss? That guy.
Hey, Paul Stanley. Should I do that?
All right.
Vinny
nice
likes Paul Stanley. Okay. You got Jonathan Wilson.
Jonathan. I don't call him Johnny.
No, I don't. I call him John. You know, Wilson's my favorite fish song. Wilson's great, especially on Hampton Comes Alive. Beth Van Elswick, she's Dutch. You got Mike Spitler Swallow. Brennan Price is Right. Leslie Haney. Matt Talley. I don't know if it's really Matt Talley. It could be the fake Matt Talley.
It could be.
Could be the real one. I don't know, but I appreciate him. He's good at the Photoshop. He's not good at paintings, though. I do good paintings.
Mm.
Sean Hall, which is where I lived when I went to college. It's the name of my dorm. AJ Dysart, he invented a vacuum cleaner that uses a spin technology. Leslie Norman, she's nice. Debbie McDonald, over a billion served. Ah, just kidding, Debbie. Yeah. I know you're not like that. Nicholas Frank, he's a hot dog. Garrett Kemble, he's a detective. Do it, Autumn.
Oh, keep going.
Detective Garrett Kemble.
Oh, I'm Detective Garrett Kemble. Yeah, there you go. A copy with it.
So that's
who's
the
your daddy and what does he do?
Bennett. Andrew Hopkins is here. He's a nice
that
guy.
That Austrian guy, that's his name. His last name is Bennett.
Yeah, Bennett. Yeah. Bennett. Bennett. So there's Brooke Sizemore.
Oh. Yeah. Tom's daughter.
There's Andrew. It's a guy. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. I can't.
Tom's uncle.
Andrew Harbin. Mark Weiland. And the Funky Bunch. Chris Knight. He's
from the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that guy. Aaron Roberts. He's a nice guy. JB.
JB Smooth.
Smooth.
Wayne Blair Witch Project. Buck Monterey Pop Festival. Trent.
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 Jeremy Truman Show. Dallas Walker. Herb Lamb. Rusty Weinberg. Kevin Stokes. Keith Tate.
Ooh.
Chad Shepard. You remember Chad Shepard, don't you, Vinny?
Yeah. No, he and I... used to do some commentary at NWA. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, guys. Hey, it's Chad Shepard here. How you doing?
Chris Weiland. Did I already mention him? Oh, no.
Yes,
I mentioned
you did.
No, he has a brother.
Oh, the brothers.
Yeah, the twins.
The Stone Temple Pilot brothers.
I love twins, yes. Ryan Humans, Darren Downey, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds. Hi, Denise. Brian Jackson, what? Dustin Lawler, who's going to be on the show soon. Zach Pittman.
Dustin Lawler, let me borrow a dollar.
Jose Perales, Luke Caniglio. Mike Hall, David C. Funk and the Funky Bunch, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Omen, and last but not least, one of my favorite ladies of all time, Amber Gilpatrick. Amber Fitzpatrick. So go ahead, go to Radio Labyrinth, support them on Patreon at patreon.com/TimAndrews. And also, you can leave a review at iTunes. I don't know if we got any new ones. Did we, Jeff?
I forgot to look. My computer's busted, so.
Jeff's computer's busted, and he doesn't.
What happened?
He can't paint a painting to get a new one,
it's
so.
Like something, the video card maybe, or maybe I need my whole screen replaced. I don't know. I got to take it in, but. They
take
said
it
it's going to be like $400.
Take
so.
That some bitch in and get it fixed.
If any radios know anybody that does computer screen repair, hit me up on Facebook.
And if you want to do it for free, we'll give you free mentions because it's not Plugola. There's no rule against that on this.
Yeah, podcast, you can have all the Plugola you want.
Yeah, so Plugola my hola. So, yeah, that's that. And also support us by following us on Twitter at @radio_labyrinth or Facebook, which is just facebook.com/radiolabyrinth, you know. Hey, so there's that. What's this? Jeff put some notes up here. June 20th, Comic Book Nerds Podcast. What's that all about?
Yeah, we're having this dude, Caleb Hardin, mm-hmm. who hosts a podcast called 'Cause We're Nerds.
Okay.
It's a pretty new podcast, but they talk about like Marvel movies and shit like that.
Right.
And then we're having that artist, Brian Silverbacks,
mm-hmm.
who is a freelance artist, and Dustin Lawler met him at a con, I think, and suggested that we have him on the podcast. So
those two will be on at the same time?
Yeah, we'll have them both on at the same time. We'll talk like Dragon Con and comic books and all that kind of shit.
Awesome. So look forward to that. That's going to be the June 20th show, or that week anyway. So let's get back to the booch. The booch. Now, Boochie and I, again, saw each other every day. And the thing that we did most with you, I guess, other than everybody on the show abusing.
Aside from the sex.
Yeah. Aside yeah. from everybody abusing you constantly.
Yeah.
We did Mic'd Up quite a bit with you.
Yes, Mic'd Up.
The segment that never seemed to end.
Yes, never seemed to end, and was very hard to keep that going as long as I did, but I did the best I could. I love that segment because it's something that my mom never lives down to this day. Because,
what's that?
Well, the whole Mic'd Up came about because I have this, I'm one of those people that a lot of times I talk to myself.
Right. Like, I remember.
Yes, because
okay.
It's usually because I'm doing one of three things. I'm either planning something, or I'm venting about something, or just whatever's on my mind, I just do it. Like, it's hard for me to just Because I think about so much stuff at one time, you know, like a lot of creative thoughts are going through. If I didn't say them, at least to myself, I would get a headache.
Okay.
If I kept it to myself. So I would just start talking, and Larry would notice it, and he would want to know what I'm saying, and it's not something I'm comfortable spewing out to the general public at that time.
Right.
So Larry would always go, okay, we're going to put a mic on him to see. So when I talk to myself, it would, you know, he would be able to, you know, grab the audio and play it. And
right.
And for a while it was a popular segment, which made my mom laugh because she tried to break me of that habit for so many years. She didn't want me to talk. And one of the things she always tell me is, what do you think you're going to get out of talking to yourself? And then I went home and said, Mom, I have the answer to that question. She goes, what? She goes, a segment on a popular radio show.
There you go.
And my mom's like, you win. So she never stopped me from talking to myself ever again because she saw how it was, how well it did. For a period of time.
Speaking of a popular radio show, you've been doing the Boochcast. Now, when we were the last year of the Regular Guy show, you were doing that every day.
Yes.
Live. Do you still do it every day, or is it a once a week thing?
Now it's a once a week thing. Right. I was doing it daily for a while because I was towards the end of 2013, I was working two jobs at the time.
Right.
I was at Home Depot and I was doing that cheese grater thing that I did on the show.
Okay.
So I was juggling those two jobs.
What's the cheese grater?
He was like demoing cheese grater.
Basically, it was a company called US Jesco, where basically you go and demonstrate products in department stores.
Uh-huh.
But Larry called it the cheese grater job. So, so I'm saying that for the listeners to remember. So basically, I was doing that job. Towards the end of December, the company the Atlanta market got shut down because they weren't getting a lot of employees, and some people were quitting because they weren't getting paid on time.
People like doing their own cheese grating.
Pretty much, yeah. So I kind of got out of that job. So I had adjusted my schedule at Home Depot to fit that. So I had this wide open day, and for like months I would just sleep in if I wasn't at the radio station. So I just thought to myself, you know what? I think now's a good time to bring back the Boochcast. And this time I wanted to do it like a real radio show, because I love the environment of being in the Regular Guys and how we had a 3-hour show or 4-hour show and how all the different ideas and breaks and stuff like that, it really appealed to me. Like, it's kind of like that thing where people say, like, when a musician goes into acting, they say they got bit by the acting bug.
Right.
I got bit by the radio bug working with you guys.
So is your show on Blog Talk Radio still?
No, I left a few months. I left back in August.
Did you ever make any money off of that?
Not much.
No, I don't imagine you would. It's a very complicated platform now.
Yeah, it is.
When it first started, I'm just talking as somebody who likes to prank them. Now it's, I think I've been banned anyway, but where do you do your show now?
SoundCloud.
Now, do you do it live still?
No, I tape it.
Okay.
Now I tape it and I put it out once a week, and I try to change it up. Like now this time around, like I still have the long, like 3-4 hour shows, but I branch them into segments. Like if you look in the comments section of any episode I do, the segments are broken down. So you don't have to listen to the whole four-hour show unless you want to.
So
you
now
can
that
literally fast forward to where you want to go.
So now that it's not live, you won't have this happen.
All right, let's take another call here. And
hi there.
Hello, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I was wondering, what do you guys think of broadcaster Joe Buck?
I'm afraid I'm not quite familiar with Joe Buck.
So you hate Joe Buck?
I don't think I hate him. I just don't know much about him.
Some people give him a hard time, but I think he's a good guy who tries his best.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I can't play that because it's from the Howard Stern show,
yes,
and he's on it quite a bit.
I can legitimately say I did not. I literally had never heard of Joe Buck after hearing that I got on Howard Stern. Desmond and I are the biggest Joe Buck fans you're ever going to meet.
Okay,
I love Joe Buck now. I do. God help me. He got me on Howard Stern, so I don't care how bad of a broadcaster he is.
How did that happen? And when did that happen? I guess you were still doing the show live on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it was around,
Sal and Richard are notorious for pranking those shows.
Yes. Well, it happened right around like the. It was right around the time of the Super Bowl.
Right.
Last year, and when the Falcons played the Patriots, and and Desmond and I were talking about it on my show. Desmond was one of my other co-hosts, and we were talking about we talked about the Super Bowl briefly because the Falcons were in it, and even though neither one of us cares about either team, I figured, you know what, it's Atlanta, let's back the Falcons for this one.
Okay,
so I got, you know, they're not playing the Broncos, who are my team, and I hate the Patriots anyway, so let's do it. So we had a segment, and all of a sudden we see a random call, and so we said okay, so we took the call. And we heard Joe Buck. And again, I'd never heard of him, so I didn't know that was an actual Joe Buck voice or somebody or a recording or whatever.
Did you think it was me at first?
I might have.
Because I heard you say, I know who this is.
No. I knew it was Howard Stern because A few months back.
Oh, okay.
They had pranked me before, and I found out.
Oh, all right. Did they ever air that one?
They aired that one.
What was that one?
When someone called in and said, "Hello, this is legendary actor Michael Caine."
Oh, you got pranked by that guy?
By Michael Caine, yes.
Oh,
He called in. It was back in November of, like, I think either this year or last year. I think it was 2016. He called in, and he was like, you know, he goes, and I knew right away it wasn't Michael Caine, but because I had been on, but because of all the time I spent on the regular guy's show, and because I knew I'd seen the way Tim did prank phone call, you did prank phone calls, I said, you know what? I want to have fun with this. I'm not going to hang up on this guy. Let's see. I kind of want to see where this goes. So I pretended like I didn't know it was Michael Caine. I pretended like he was Michael Caine.
Okay.
So I played off of it, and I laughed, and it was funny. He was doing stuff like, you know, what do you think of Christian Bale? I'm like, well, I think he's a great actor. I loved how you guys worked together. Good, because I think he's a spotty little twat. I'm like, okay. I'm like, whoa, okay.
You need to send me a copy of that.
If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
I do not have that one. I've never heard it, and I'm dying to hear it. Because that Michael Caine guy, whoever they have, and by the way, that's the only thing I ever listen to now on Howard is I wait for somebody to upload the calls on YouTube, because I love prank calls.
Yeah.
And I don't like celebrity sycophants. Jeff, you got anything?
What?
For Vinny, got any questions?
Oh, are we going to talk about the car at all?
Well, we are. We're getting to it. In our non-linear fashion here. Autumn, you got any questions?
Not really. I am just real impressed with you, Vinny. I think you started out with the regular guys the way that you did, and you're sort of taking control of your own little destiny, and that's pretty cool.
Thank you. It was something I realized I had to do when I got the call from TJ that, you know, it was all over, and it hit me pretty hard, you know, because I genuinely loved being part of the show, even though it was true. Yes, I got abused quite a lot.
It was at your expense. Sometimes.
It was at my expense. You know, it was a lot of crazy stuff happened. But what I realized was, like, there were days I walked out of that studio.
Wait,
and
TJ fired you?
TJ called me to tell me I was done. Apparently, this is what I heard. What? TJ had told me, because here's the thing.
TJ was a producer.
Yeah. He called me over the phone. And then later that night, Larry.
Hey, man, I got to let you go, man.
Yeah. Larry,
hey, man, I'm sorry. I like you and everything, but, man, you know, they just don't want you no more, man. Hey, we got to let you go. This was after Larry was gone, right?
Yes.
The
following week,
that,
yes. Yeah, I understood. I kind of hoped it wouldn't happen, and everybody was trying to reassure me that it wouldn't, but I kind of saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
TJ called me, but later that night, Larry was having a party at the Palm Restaurant, and TJ walked in. So we had this awkward, like, face-to-face thing, and we kind of sat down. He explained the whole thing to me, and I can tell you right now, TJ should work in human resources. He is incredible at that. Because one of the
he's like George Wendt on that episode of Cheers when they hire him to fire people.
Yes,
he cries.
He basically said because apparently he told me when he heard the decision that I was being let go, he said, "I want to be the one to tell him." He volunteered to call me, which I think was the smart decision.
Hey, man. I'm sorry, man. I got to let you go. I love that guy.
Yeah, I
haven't talked
too.
To him forever.
I talked to him like briefly on Facebook, but every now I don't see him as much. But one of the things he kept telling me was, even though I kind of already knew this,
uh-huh.
He was kind of helping me out. He goes, dude, I know you're probably frustrated right now, but the best advice I'm going to give you, don't blow up on social media. Just ride it out and take what you learned on TRG and bring it to the Boochcast. And
were you around for the Bieber prank?
I was around for that, yes.
Were you part of that?
Not really. I was and I wasn't. I wasn't in on the planning, so I had no idea what the hell we were doing.
Okay.
For all I knew...
If you're not familiar with it, in 2014, we pranked the entire world, pretty much.
Yes.
And it was a very successful prank, and it was very funny. And, yeah, in fact, my wife was part of that whole thing. And, you know, we don't talk about it much in the house because she got death threats from Bieber fans. But anyway, moving on, you can Google it. If you go to Google and type in the regular guys.
Was Justin Bieber actually even planning on buying a house in Atlanta? You guys just made that whole thing
The
up.
Reason we did it was because of celebrity news and how stupid the media is when it comes to following up on sources.
Here's the thing. Nobody let me in on the planning, so I had no idea what the hell was going on. Apparently it was a, we were, they were planning a prank. I thought we actually were protesting Bieber.
Oh, okay. No, it was all a prank.
I didn't know it was a prank, so apparently I was saying some stuff when I was calling in.
When Chad Shepard got on the news in a suit. Well, yeah. We don't want him here.
And I kind of found out a little bit that we were doing like an act, but I thought we were actually protesting, but we were doing fake names. I didn't know we were planning a hoax for everyone to go to.
Right.
So that's why when you hear certain people say, you know, Vinny almost screwed it up, I'm like, you didn't even let me in on the plan. How could I screw up something that I'm not aware of? If someone had pulled me to the side and said, hey, Booch, we're doing a big prank today. Here's step by step what we want you to do. I'd have helped.
Yeah.
But if you don't tell me what's going on,
we had to keep it quiet.
And I
ended up doing all those. You know, I don't have any of the audio from that, and yeah. It sucks because I want to hear those interviews I did with foreign radio stations.
I did one with I ended up doing an interview with Giovanni and Kim, and they looked at me like I was the devil. I didn't even schedule that interview. My friend Derek, who lives in
Boston.
Who
the hell are Giovanni and Kim?
They were a radio station in Providence. I think it's Rhode Island or Massachusetts.
Well, how did you end up doing an interview with them?
My friend Derek Shapiro lives in that area.
Okay.
And he knows Giovanni and Kim.
Oh, that's so the guy you got to block on
Gmail
or you'll get 8 million emails a day.
Exactly. So he basically called them without telling me. I was asleep. He wakes me up at like 6:30 in the morning and tells me, hey, I spoke to Giovanni and Kim. They want to interview you. I'm like, what? And I was like, okay.
I didn't even know about this.
So they call me and they said, hey, we want to talk to you a little bit about, because that's when we revealed that it was a hoax and people were wanting to know about it. So I kind of called in. I did the interview and I put everybody over. I said, this is a wrestling term. Yes. I put everybody over and I told everybody, I said, this is what we did. This is how we plan it. When I said we, I meant the show. So yeah. I'm talking on behalf of the show. And then, so I post, and they said, we're going to air this later in the day. So I posted a link. Next thing I know, I got Larry and Seabass giving me the third degree.
Uh-huh.
Because apparently they thought I was trying, again, they tried to spin it like I was trying to take credit for the whole thing.
Oh,
and I was like, no, I didn't even schedule.
That's why we never heard about it.
And I had, I cleared it up on the air because they played some of it on the air.
Yeah,
they said, we got Vinny Bucci here. And I was like, I explained what happened. I pleaded my case. And no, I was not trying to take credit for anything. I just, they asked to talk to me. I spoke to them and that was that.
Okay. Going back a little bit. You've been involved with Adult Swim.
Yes.
You did a show on Adult Swim called Daytime Fighting League. What's that all about?
Daytime Fighting League was basically a wrestling type show.
People who don't really wrestle.
Yeah, for people who don't really wrestle. And it has like weird gimmicky type matches like you kind of saw in the early 90s.
Right.
Like when you see crazy things like Pink Slip on a Pole or A Kennel from Hell and that kind of thing.
A Triple H having sex with a dead body in a coffin.
That too, yeah. So
some classic stuff.
Exactly. So it was great. So I found out about it through Facebook. I was checking my Facebook feed and one of my friends... Josh Wheeler, who's who works in indie wrestling, he promotes an indie wrestling show. He was posting about come audition for DFL because he was affiliated with it. They were using his ring and his facility to film everything. So I thought, you know, and they said like, you know, as long as you have an outgoing personality, you can audition. No wrestling experience required. Doesn't matter what body type you are, which for me was great because every time I tried to look for a casting audition, I would read like I'm perfect for this role, and then it would say. Body, athletic. So it's like, I can't audition for this, even though I could easily, with the words and the personality, knock it out.
What, Autumn?
So I was laughing.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I go into the audition and I meet with the School of Humans who are producing it and I knocked it and I just knocked the interview out of the park. I basically had to do a physical challenge. I managed to get through that somehow.
What was that?
Basically, we were doing
walking.
We basically had to do burpees. I had to run through an obstacle course. I had to throw sandbags into a garbage can, and then I had to play ping pong with somebody and trash talk them.
Okay.
So this girl I don't even know. I'm basically having to make fun of her, and I feel bad about it now. But I wanted the part that badly, so I get in. And then a week later, they call me and say, "We loved your audition." Pretty much everybody voted. Everybody there, and it was like the School of Humans, Matt Hardigan from Adult Swim, Max Simonet, one of the producers, and Wheeler, and they're all in a table and. Everybody except for one guy said, we love the Booch. We want him.
Nice.
So they all said, he's perfect for this. So I got the call and I did the first
two seasons. Now, is there going to be a third?
As of right now, there aren't any plans.
All right.
We're hoping there will be down the road.
You can watch every episode of Daytime Fighting League just by going to YouTube and typing in Daytime Fighting League. They're on all the Adult Swim or they're on the Adult Swim channel. You probably watch them on adultswim.com, but whatever.
Can you watch on the Adult Swim app?
I had that on my phone for a while.
But I bet you can.
They took it off. Well, they took it off the site temporarily. Oh. I hope they're putting it back on. If you go to the YouTube channel, they have all of season one, but for some reason, season two is not up yet, which is kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
Like they had it up
I
there
saw
live.
Some. Maybe it was a preview.
Yeah, they were doing some of that, but then for some reason they took it down because one of the cool things about Daytime Fighting League is that they tested it on AdultSwim.com. They have like a chat room live streaming. Right. And it got so successful there, it got upgraded to TV. And it got on there at 4 a.m. in the morning. And it drove like, it was getting primetime numbers at 4 a.m. in the morning. Like the first episode, I think, had 800,000 people tuning in, which was surreal. And it was great because I was the first episode. So it like literally got to a point where it got so out of control. People were saying, we love the Booch. We love the Booch. We love the Booch. And it's the prior to that, people only knew me from the regular guys.
Right.
So this was kind of like, you know, there was a period of time after the regular guys show where a lot of haters were on there going, well, I guess the Booch is done now. So when I got on Adult Swim and it took me back up there, it was like, it was validation for me.
It's like you're the only one from the regular guy show other than Seabass and Steve who has a job.
Like I literally went up there and was just like, hey, now, you know, that was my way of saying, hey, I can stand on my own 2 feet.
When you did the Blog Talk radio show, did you get a lot of pranks or did you just get them occasionally?
I got a couple of pranks. One prank was actually, I had two major ones.
Two from Stern.
One was from a guy named Gator Ricky Ross, who's now one of my best friends.
Okay.
He kind of pranked the show. He was this guy, he's like, howdy everybody, this year is Gator Ricky Roush. And he literally talks like that. And he was trying to prank our show. But again, I played along with everything he said. So I said, hey, if you want to call back in anytime, feel free, which is what I said to every caller.
Yeah.
He kept calling in and calling in and calling in. And then when Desmond had to leave the show temporarily, Gator called me through Facebook Messenger and said, I want to co-host with you. And then I found out who he really was behind the scenes. Found out later he used to be a manager in independent wrestling. He's a stand-up comedian. So we started bouncing ideas.
Hold that thought because we're going to talk about that in a second. Do you remember this one?
Caller number three, you are on the Booch Cast. Hello? Hello, ma'am?
Ma'am.
Hello? Yeah. Can you hear us? Okay. How you doing? Welcome to the Booch Cast. Are you smoking, sir? Is that bad reception, or are you smoking a bomb? What are you doing? Okay, going once?
He's in a hot tub.
Going twice? I don't know what's going on here, but, No, it's not him. Yeah, apparently Slim thinks this is Tim Andrews, but this is not him because... I know it's not Tim Andrews because... I know Tim's number. That's not his number. So,
yeah,
that's real hard to fix.
Yeah,
yeah.
Stoned out of my mind in the afternoon, just dropping plates and crockery and so on.
Yeah, it shows how much I knew about phone call-ins at the time.
And Slim, I guess, was your producer at the time?
No, he was a guy that was in the chat room. We had a little chat room on Blog Talk going. All right. So we had people coming in a while because at the time we had a lot of people in the chat room, you know, being a part of the show. So he probably said, this is Tim Andrews. And I'm like, it doesn't. I for some reason, I did not think it was you because I didn't. I guess I didn't think you would ever prank me, but you did. And yeah. It was great.
Aww. What would ever
give you broke his
that,
heart.
What would give you that impression that I would never prank it?
I know.
When all I did was prank those shows. You exactly. Guys want to hear in a little bit a prank call? It's very long. That I did to the Blaze 420 show over the weekend.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
you prank call my shitty neighbors?
Well, they don't.
I thought you were moving.
I don't know their number, Autumn. Gosh, why would I do that?
You're right. I don't know how you would get it.
Right.
But yeah, in addition to that, the only other big prank I had was, and I remember it was called, they called it on their show, the Sacramento Screwjob, which is the funniest thing in the world. This guy called into my show, and apparently the show that pranked me was the Don Geronimo show in Sacramento. Prank called my show.
Don Geronimo. I know that name.
He had a guy on his show called the Masked Tweeter, who apparently was not only a wrestling fan, I found out when I got to know him, he used to be a producer for the Giants show.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah. He was a producer here. So he prank called my show.
That was when 96 Rock switched to Project 96.1.
Yeah.
And then it had a string of failed morning shows.
Absolutely. Exactly. So they he prank calls my show, and you know, at first he sounded like he was this guy. He sounded like he was from a sports station in Sacramento, and that he wanted to hire me for a job, which I knew something was fishy. So we had a conversation. He said, "I'll call you tomorrow." I'm like, "Okay." I hang up, and then I went online to fact check everything, and everything checked out.
So you were shocked.
So yeah. So for a brief second, I thought to myself, "Could this be real?" I found out it wasn't when Larry retweeted something, because apparently he followed Don on Twitter.
I imagine they're friends.
Yeah, so he retweeted him, and it said, "Poor Vinny." So I looked at it, and it was the whole conversation. So he calls in the second day, and I'm listening to all this, and then all of a sudden we're having another conversation, and I decided, you know what? I want to see where this goes. Again, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to mess with this guy. So finally, after I realized this is all a prank and everybody on their Twitter page is making fun of me, thinking I'm the most gullible person in the world, my friend Desmond and I are there. We came up with this idea. He said, you know what? We're going to flip this and make it work.
Okay. Because
he's trying to say he's going to recruit me and he wants to talk about it. So I decided, okay, I'm gonna prank him back. And I'm thinking, I'm going to tell him that I just got another offer from a radio station in Orlando where TNA is based out of, the Performance Center WWE is based out of, so it's believable. I said this is going to be the starting salary because it's the average starting salary for a radio person. It's like 25 grand a year. So I said they're going to start me off at that, so it's more believable.
Right.
So he calls me in on the last day, and this is like his final knockout, and I can see him promoting it because I'm not following him on Twitter, but I can find his Twitter page. So I know this is his final knockout. I'm like, okay. So he says, "Booch, I'm afraid we're going to have to back out of our deal." And I said, "Why?" Again, knowing what's going on. So he's like, "I just found out we're being taken over by a Spanish station." And he starts crying. He goes, "The Mexicans are stealing my job." And he starts crying. And again, I'm like sitting there going, I'm like, "Dude, it's okay. It's okay. Just come work with me in Orlando." And immediately he pauses and goes, "What's going on in Orlando?" And I said, "Well, I got offered this really great job. And, you know, they're going to start me off with the salary. And apparently the producer's a friend of yours." He goes, and he's thinking, "Who the hell do I know in Orlando?" He just says it. I go, "Well, he wouldn't give me his real name, but he gave me his DJ name. I think it's Mass something. Can't quite. I think it's Mass Tweeter."
Yeah.
There's this long pause. And again, he's trying to make me believe he's not the Mass Tweeter. So he's trying to play it off. And I'm just driving him nuts. He goes, "Mass Tweeter, that sounds like a really gay name." And I'm like, "I know, right?"
Oh,
who does that? And then finally just goes, all right, Booch, I give up. This is the Mass Tweeter. How you doing, buddy?"
Yeah.
So they put it all together. They play it on Don's show. Don calls me a week later, and I ended up doing like 12 appearances on his show.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you get paid for it?
I didn't get paid for it, but a lot of Sacramento fans tuned into the Boochcast after that.
That's pretty fucking cool. So at least you got something out of it.
I did. I got a Sacramento fan base, which is pretty cool.
And so you do your podcast. Can you get it on iTunes?
Not at the moment. I've been trying to get it on iTunes, but every time I try to put it on iTunes, like, there's always some kind of, I don't know how to, I think I'm not doing it right.
I don't know how to do that. Jeff did all that.
Yeah, you gotta have an RSS feed to get on iTunes, I think.
Okay.
Oh, this chair.
Yeah, I'm thinking I should be, I want to get it on iTunes, but when I tried to do it with Blog Talk, it wasn't working.
No, Blog Talk sucks.
Yeah, I'll try it with SoundCloud.
Blog Talk does nothing for anybody, unless you have 8 million listeners.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, I'm all discombobulated.
Tim fell out of his chair.
I did. Oh, no. It's broken. Keep talking.
Yeah.
So what TV shows do you watch, Vinny?
Well, currently, the three main TV shows I've been following the most. I haven't followed much of the current season of these shows because of my schedule, but Gotham, Arrow, Supernatural.
The hero shows.
Yes. Well, my friends got me into them. At first, I remember when they first wanted me to watch Gotham, the two seasons were already on Netflix, so season three was on the horizon because I hadn't been following it. So my friend said, "Dude, you should check out Gotham." I'm like,
"You know that kid's Batman, right?"
Yeah. that was my first thought was, it's like, "Oh, cool. It's a Batman show." And he tells me, "There's no Batman." I'm like, "What? You have a Gotham show and there's no Batman?"
No,
he goes,
"No, it's Batman as a little boy."
Exactly. And he's telling me, like, it's Commissioner.
Baby Batman.
Baby Batman and Baby Joker, who they can't call the Joker because it's owned by the movies. And then you got to pretend that, you know, "Well, I know it's the Joker, but I can't call him that."
Exactly. And then it was like, they're telling me, like, you know, it's Commissioner Gordon. Before he was a commissioner, he started out. I'm like, okay. He goes, and then there's Edward and there's Oswald. I'm like, "Oh, cool. Penguin and Riddler." And they're like, "They're not the Penguin and the Riddler." I'm like, "What?" So, yeah, it's all an origin story. I'm like, okay, so let me see. I got this straight. "You want me to watch a Gotham show? No Batman, no Penguin, no Riddler, no Joker, no nothing." He goes, "No." He goes, "Why the hell would I want to watch this crap?" So
you can't even jack off the Catwoman because she's like 14.
Exactly. So
you can.
She won't be one day.
Yeah. No, she. I knew it. I knew it when they hired her. She's not growing into being a hot cat woman, so they're going to have to get rid of her.
Exactly. So
they do that the time, too. They replaced the girl that played Poison Ivy about four times now.
Really?
Exactly. Yep.
Well, how can you tell?
They made her a they had this thing where she fell in a toxic chemical thing and became a grown-up, like, overnight.
That's because people like the way that Poison Ivy looks. Yeah. Especially that last horrible movie, the one where she's wearing Daddy's Little Monster, and now all these chicks at the cons dress like that. So now we are going to... Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. We're going to talk about...
I need a reason to dress slutty.
Yeah, look at my nipples. They're white.
It's for a costume.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy.
You don't love me, you just love my doggy style.
Frankie! You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Oh, can we keep him, Dad, please?
But he's a loser! He's pathetic! He's... a Simpson.
Hey, guys, so... this Saturday, you can come out and see all the dogs that we can get to, the Alpharetta Farmers Market. Barktown is hosting an adoption event from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. That is if it is not storming dogs and dogs. Anyway, that's this Saturday from 8:30 to 1 o'clock at the Alpharetta Farmers Market. And then, of course, you can always come to Gwinnett County Animal Shelter. We would love to have you come and check out our dogs and cats. We have a ton of them. All of the animals are $20 this month, and that includes all of their vetting. Even if they have heartworms, don't worry about it, because we'll pay to have them treated. All you got to do is stick them in a crate for 6 weeks, and they'll be good to go. So that's... all animals, $20. If you're a doctor, nurse, a military, a vet, all animals are free. Or any first responder, as a matter of fact. All animals are free. And starting this Friday, for the next few Fridays, all the animals are free for everyone. So we would love to have some responsible people come out that are not looking for bait dogs or, you know, they're just general psychos that want to mangle them. That would be great. So that's this Friday. All animals are free. And for the next few Fridays, Gwinnett County Animal Shelter, thank you guys so much for all your support for the animals. We all appreciate it. And congratulations to Tim and Caitlin for getting their foster dog adopted. Yay! Congratulations! Bye!
I'm going to play my prank call, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about this car thing, because it's perplexing to me. But if you guys don't find this call funny once I start playing it, I'll stop playing it, okay?
It's not funny at all.
Well, you don't know.
It's 420 show.
By the way, let me tell you, this is a show that a guy was doing on Twitch. Apparently, he doesn't like fish. And a buddy of mine...
How's he doing a 420 show and he doesn't like fish?
I don't know. It comes from that fish jam band board and all these people. They're very serious people. They're like wrestling fans, except it's fish. So my friend sent me the number and said, hey, you should prank him. And I started listening to it, and every call was either my buddy or, well, me. Come on, Neil.
It's 420 show.
In the skin of the night, he's a wolf owl, and he's a rusty cow owl.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know, man. I'm fucked up. He hung up.
He was a bit possessed by some sort of
welcome
demon.
To Glaze 420 show.
What's up, man? I'm stoned out of my mind right now.
You smoking what, Cole?
I'm stoned out of my mind right now.
What'd you smoke?
I smoked some grass clippings from my backyard mixed with some quality ashes. You got any videos and bulls?
Yeah, we're playing some videos and bulls right now.
You got any bulls getting fucked by retards?
Sorry, Dude, I feel bad for these cowboys.
If this were the Gong Show, it would have been hit.
They signed up for it. You know what a base signed up for?
Unless we're listening.
I had a base that you rode bulls and she busted her hide that old wood will have.
You ever drink bull steaming?
Yeah. I'll drink some right now.
He just conveniently has it.
We're going to take it. Peace out.
All right. See you later, buddy.
420 show.
420 show.
Yeah.
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 This is definitely a 420 show.
What's up? What do you want to talk about, my boy?
What's up? What do you want to talk about, my boy?
What do you want to talk about, my girl?
What do you want to talk about, my girl? I want to talk about Donald Trump. You want to talk about Donald Trump? Do you think he likes fish?
Yeah, I'm sure he loves fish. Because most dickheads do like fish, you know?
Oh, don't you dare insult my president, man. He's the man. He's bigger, bigger, great again. Don't be a jerk. Apologize.
Hey, to be fair, I thought Obama was a dickhead. I thought Bush was a dickhead. I thought all presidents were dickheads.
Why didn't you like Obama? Because he's black?
No, I just don't like all... I dislike all presidents, man.
Who do you think should be the leader, then?
I think that they should have no leader.
Yeah.
The executive branch, shorten the terms of the Senate and the House, and maybe make a new branch of government that's sort of like the House and the Senate.
We'll just have a king, man.
Why don't we just have one guy in charge?
Yeah, I know. I got a great.
He can wear a crown and everything.
Mind.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I think Donald Trump should become a dictator.
You do?
Yep. And then get rid of all
of them. He's already a dick. So,
I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him that the guy from the 420 show is making fun of him, and then he's going to retweet it, and you're going to be in a shit storm.
Oh, shit. You're going to we're going to get a retweet.
I'm friends with Donald Trump. He retweeted, and you'll get all sorts of people in Twitter yelling at you. You don't want that, do you?
That would be epic. Mealtime.
Epic.
Hey, we got another caller. Thanks for calling in.
All right, peace out, bro.
Peace out.
I love you.
I love you.
Place 420 show. Yo, turn on your speaker.
All right, this is where I, this is just feedback.
Turn down your speaker. What's up?
Huh?
Turn on your speaker. What's up?
Your speaker's reverberating.
Yeah, what's up? What do you want to say?
I don't know. I hear you twice.
Yeah, because you're listening to the speaker.
Maybe, hang on. How's that?
That's good. What's up?
Not much. I was just wondering if maybe you could play a request for me.
What is it?
That had to help on me, though.
All right, let's see if we can do it for you. Out of hell. Meatloaf, okay. We got it for you, bro.
Sweet.
Do they play songs?
But this is when I crank the feedback
there
back
you go.
Up.
Oh, God.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to play this video, and I'll play it back.
I'll be that out of hell till the morning's gone.
Isn't that nice?
Well, yeah.
What an idiot.
He didn't think to put you on pause? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Blake 420 show.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? What do you want to talk about?
That was Hitler. All right. Sorry for the quality of this is terrible. I have a better version of it. I don't know why the quality is so terrible. Do you want me to finish it? Are you guys bored with this?
No, it's pretty
funny. It's funny.
All right, I'll play the rest.
It's pretty cool.
It's almost
I
over.
Like, if you don't like Vinny and you don't like crank calls, then you're listening to the wrong podcast.
Thank you, Autumn.
Thank you.
Here's the rest.
Welcome to the Great 420 Show.
Well, why don't you get these guys to stop calling you? It's annoying.
Yeah, I know. These douchebags call.
Hang on 1 second. I want to try something.
Are you going to change it somehow?
Nah, I have the... If I didn't delete it, I have it somewhere. Motherfucker.
Is your aux cord connected? I don't know.
Is your what?
I don't know. Your aux cord.
Is your aux cord connected to the monkey
your
bone?
Your coaxial...
Anyway, Vinny, I'll play the rest of that call in a minute. Vinny, tell us about this car thing. So tell us how it got started, why you're doing it, and what the benefit of it is to you.
Well, I started it about a year ago. The idea came to me. I was basically going through, some personal stuff. Like, it's weird because, even though, we've been talking a lot about a lot of great things I've done in my life. I've been blessed to be part of the Regular Guys Show and still have a fan base from that. I've done great things with the Booch Cast. I got on Adult Swim Daytime Fighting League.
And don't forget that you're going to be doing something this weekend that we
yes.
got to get to.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead. We'll definitely talk about that. And, so I've had a lot of great things happen to me, but it's one of those things where I'm still, not where I wanted to be in my career. Because I feel like I still – it's like one of those things where they talk about – entertainers talk about, trying to break the glass ceiling. Well – For a
women
while,
do.
And women do too, yes.
Primarily women.
Primarily, yes. But I seem to always hit my head on the ceiling, but never able to break it. Like, I'm always right. I feel like I'm on the cusp, something big's going to happen, and then there's a giant curveball that sends me back down. And
I hear you. We've all been there.
Yeah, and it was bothering me for a while. And one of my friends, he just gave me this book to read. And it was a book called Car by Harry Cruz.
How did that book taste? Was it
delicious?
Yeah.
The pages were pretty good, yeah.
Called Car?
Yeah, that's the name of it. It's called Car.
Okay.
And basically, it was a story about a guy who ate a car. Now, granted, this was not a real book. It was a fictional story this guy, Harry, wrote. But when I read it, he was showing how he ate the car, why he was and everything. And I looked at this character, the character Herman, who was eating it, and he's talking about how he was turning 30 and nothing was going wrong in his life, and he got this opportunity to eat a car. And
what an opportunity!
He was going to make money doing it, and
something that not too many people get.
I don't want to have this car anymore, but I don't know what to do with it.
Nobody
I
wants
wish
to.
Somebody would just break it into tiny pieces and eat it.
Yeah. It's like I can't sell it, so why not? So it was great. And I'm reading the book, and even though before this time, I had never once in my life thought about doing something like this.
What, eating a car?
Yeah, this is not something I
think you're lying.
Maybe.
I think about it every day.
Oh, every day? Cool. Yeah.
You know, Vinny, if it were the 1980s, you would have been on Real People.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of that show?
No, I haven't.
It was a reality television in the 80s, but it was just goofy people doing things. So, hey, yeah, we're going to go find real people that aren't actors. And there was a guy eating a car. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I read the book, and then even though I never thought about doing anything like this, I 100% related to this character. It felt like he spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about it for a while, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I could give this a shot. Maybe this is something. Maybe this is the thing that will break the glass ceiling for me. Because mm-hmm. I felt like, I've tried the possible. Mon, I tried the impossible. But the thing I like to make clear to everybody is I didn't say I'm going to eat a car and then ran outside and started chewing on the bumper.
You thought maybe a bike first.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But my dad sold my bike years ago, so I was stuck.
Dad.
Why? And the only other bike
success.
Yeah. And the other bike we have is stationary, and if I eat that, my dad will get mad.
Right.
So, because my dad took his old bike, somehow turned into an exercise bike, and there's his history on that. So,
life hack, he watched Ruthless People.
Exactly. So, I went through, hold on, what was I saying?
You read the book.
Yeah, I read the book.
You inspired to eat.
Yeah, so I ran out to eat the book, and yeah, so I so what I did was I went
I read
online
a book called Book.
Yeah,
that I ate a book.
Was the library mad that the book had a big bite out of it when you returned it?
Yes.
Don't make me read a book called Book, then library. My fault.
So after I made the decision, I went online and I researched, can this be done? and I looked at it, and I seen that it had been done by some guy in Europe. He did some. He was but he was like a metal eater in the circus. So
oh yeah,
he had done it before. So I thought okay, and then I found out, and then I said okay, this looks like something can be done. And then I went to a doctor, and I asked him. And of course, the doctor looked at me like I was nuts, but he can't say I'm nuts because HIPAA. Hippocratic oaths and stuff like that.
Was this Dr. Vinnie Boombot?
I wish he was Vinnie Boombot.
Hey,
yeah. He grabbed my nuts, told me to cough, hit me in the balls with a hammer.
Yeah, hey, all right.
So anyway.
So who's your doctor? Was he an American?
He was an American doctor, yes.
Okay.
So I asked him about it, and I just asked him a bunch of questions. I asked him, like, you know, what's the safest way to do it? And of course he said, well, as a doctor, I'm obligated to tell you the safest thing is for you not to do this at all.
Right.
But if you're going to do this, and that's when I got the idea for the metal capsules. He said, if you put them into capsules and put them through your body, you can ingest them without having to worry about without worrying about lead paint or glass or car parts damaging your body. He said, now, of course, you know, the metal could cause a little bit of damage. So there's not, so, you know, it's safer than just eating it outright. So, you know, because anything can happen. Mm-hmm. But he said, if you do it with capsules, that's the safest way to go.
All right.
So I found some metal capsules, and that's when I started doing that. And then when I made the decision I wanted to do this, I wanted to film it for a documentary. I wanted to document what was happening. But I didn't want to do it with my own camera because I didn't want it to feel like a home movie. I wanted this to look legit.
Right.
So I went to the School of Humans, who I worked on with DFL. And they were talking about bringing me back for season two. And I said, well, while I'm here, I got something I want to talk to you guys about. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I'm thinking about eating a car. And again, I got the look of what the hell. Mm-hmm. And I explained to them what I was doing, why I wanted to do it, how I wanted it documented. And, you know, they're very big on doing human pieces and things like this. And they love going out of the ordinary. That's why when you watch DFL, there's a lot of random, bizarre stuff you don't know about because they like to be outside the norm a lot.
Right.
So when I told them everything I wanted to do, they said, we love it. We're on board. Nice. And we'll help you. And we'll help you any way that we can. So they've been helping me document everything. They've been.
How far along are you?
I'm pretty far along. I'm not done quite yet. But after about a year in, if you saw the video on the late feed, quite a bit of the car has been taken out already. Like, the back seat's been eaten.
So you started with the interior.
I started with the interior, okay. worked my way around other parts.
You did the tires yet?
No. There's four parts of the car I'm excluding, and the tires is one of them.
Ooh.
This all sounds like code for something else.
Yeah. Like basically the four things.
Yeah, back seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I ate the tires, went around with the tires.
Oh, she had the best tires.
Yes.
Are you grinding? Now, what do you grind it up with?
There's a chop shop. That in Stockbridge,
obviously called, with nothing better to do.
Yeah, it's called RJ Hammond, and I went down there, and you know, I talked to the guy, told him what I wanted to do, and we, you know, he worked out a deal where I could come by, and you know, and we'll chop pieces up together. Now, of course, he helps me with it because I have no idea how to operate these machines.
Of course not.
So are you taking the car apart yourself? And then bringing the pieces to the chop shop, and they're grinding it?
Yeah, I'm kind of taking pieces off. And then I bring the pieces to him. At first, I was bringing the car to him back when it was drivable. But now that I'm at a point where we can't really drive it anymore.
I wish that you continued to drive it the entire time.
It still has wheels.
Yeah. So I keep it at the farm where it was shown in Leafy. We had this wide open space where I keep the car.
Right.
It's right by one of the cameramen. He has this big farm out in Fayetteville. So he said, we can keep it here because my mom had already said, you're not keeping this car at the house. I told my mom what I wanted to do, and she's not happy.
Did you bring any of the capsules with you?
No, I didn't know if I was supposed to.
Are they metal capsules?
Yes.
What kind of metal?
Stainless steel.
Stainless, yeah. Stainless
so you got to like shift your poop?
A little bit sometimes, yeah.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to ask. Are you reusing these capsules?
I am now. I wasn't in the beginning. I wasn't.
Why don't
in
you use just like vegetable based? Because
that'll break down.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I realized they'll dissolve in my body, and then all that stuff gets in. The metal keeps that stuff from deteriorating.
I didn't think that.
Yeah. Because if it dissolves in my body, then all that stuff comes in. Right,
so really, it's not eating a car; it's like passing a car,
ingesting a car.
It's ingesting, yes.
Yeah, I look at it like this: if it's going through my body, I ate. That's kind of how I look at it.
I swallowed a nickel once when I was seeing Herbie Goes Bananas, and my grandma made me poop in a bucket for a week.
How broke was she?
And it came out. It came out a quarter.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it had interest. So you're reusing these capsules that were mixed in shit. Now,
yeah, well, I boil them. I make sure they're absolutely clean before I take care of them. But that's something I did because at first I was just passing them in flush and that was it. But then
it's expensive.
It got expensive at some point, and it was like, you know, basically now I have a system. If I'm in a public bathroom and I pass it, adios, see you later. If I'm passing it at the house, then I reuse those.
You put a screen on the toilet or?
Yeah, I got some protective stuff.
You put your hands
like, Vinny! Take the screen off the shitter.
Do you put
my brother's
hand...
got mad at me a few times for that one.
No. Do you put your hand physically in the poop? Do you put glove on?
Well, of course I can put... Yeah, I put gloves on.
I mean, I wouldn't.
You should...
Tim would just... Take the whole log and just start eating it. Yeah,
that's disgusting. I wouldn't do
no,
that.
No, I would not eat
again.
Oh, God.
So the documentary, is that being done?
Yes, we're still working on it right now. Basically, as I'm finishing up eating the pieces, they're putting, you know, the scene. They're the ones doing like the post production, the editing, and the scenes together because it's one of those things. That's the thing about a documentary that I found interesting because I've watched documentaries in the past, and
right.
This is my first time ever actually doing one, and I realized that there's a catch-22 with it because on the one hand, you know, everything's being done in real time and everything's authentic and obviously that's how you want it to look in a documentary. But you have to keep in mind, in fact, that you're also at the same time, you're showing people a movie. So you got to look kind of like, you know, like when I ingest the capsule, the camera's got to be a certain way. And that's why I have, Chad, my director. He's one of the guys that helps me out with that. Like,
that's the guy I spoke to on the phone?
Yes.
Now, how much longer do you have left?
That's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that out. I just know that I'm working very hard to get it done. I'm hoping to get it. My goal is to hopefully get it done by the end of the year.
End of this year.
Or if not by the end of this year, beginning middle of next year.
Are you eating 200 of these capsules a day?
Roughly just about, yes.
So your poop just falls in the toilet. Like, plink, 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 plink.
Pretty much.
It
wakes my brother up because... because my brother's room is right next to the bathroom, so he hears everything. Luckily, my parents... thankfully, my parents don't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's an awkward moment when my brother's in there and it's like, dude, I seriously gotta go. we argue over that constantly.
Wow. Hey, guys, guess what? Jared made us intros for it. Jared Yamamoto, the producer, the handsomest producer in all of producery, made intros for Radio Labyrinth. He is the producer of the Von Hessler Doctrine, so I can't wait to play those.
Yeah, I met him at the Smoke Jack. He's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy. Smoke Jack, yeah, that's where Vinny showed up at a remote. Anyway, sidetrack you there, Vinny. So you're hoping to have the car eaten by the end of the year, beginning of next year. How long will it take for them to assemble this film?
Probably a little bit after that. Like I said, they're hard at work on this while at the same time filming what I'm doing. So sometimes if they're not there to film, I'm usually filming stuff by myself and sending them the footage. So
cool.
So that's why when you see some of the documentaries, some of the stuff looks like it's filmed on a phone. That's me.
All right.
Doing it on my own. And then they have and then when it looks like it's done on the camera, that's them. Because sometimes
have you recorded the sound that it makes when you're pooping out?
Oh, you have to. You absolutely have to do that.
Yes, I'm definitely gonna make that happen.
Okay, all right. So Vinny eating a car.
I get a producer credit now.
Vinny, yes. Vinny Bucci eating a car. He's almost done with it. And there will be a documentary film. Now, you are producing an independent wrestling event. We're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to see if this works, okay? This might sound better. Let's see if it does. Doo-doo-doo.
I don't know. I hear you twice.
Yeah, because you were listening to the speaker.
See, doesn't that sound better?
It does sound better.
Maybe hear
it. It's not the call I wanted to play. So, Vinny, keep talking about the car you're eating.
Yeah. So, what the coolest thing about it was, for a period of time, I was actually, we were actually doing a couple. We actually were going to different places and eating the car in front of people, which is what I originally had planned for this.
Right.
Like, the first place we went to was near in Fayetteville. There was a place called Minter's Farm that had a Heritage Days festival.
Right.
And they had, like, you know, classic cars on display, and there was a parade and everything with the cars. So we got a chance to be a part of that. And that was the first place we, you know, got to do it in front of people, and it was a lot of fun. And
I picture you wearing that, like, one-shouldered leotard.
Like the Tarzan leotard.
Yeah, like a strong WWE man one. From the 20s or something.
I didn't, but see, this is why I wish
Watch
we'd have met.
Watch the amazing Brene Boucher eats a car.
See, this is why I wish I'd have met you before I started the documentary, because you have all these great ideas I never even thought of.
Oh, my God, she's the idea machine.
Hang I know. That's great. We seriously, if I ever do another project, I'm collaborating with you, Autumn.
You better.
You're brilliant. I got to.
When you start to eat that airplane, you call Autumn.
Yeah.
That's right.
It'll only take
when you read
years.
A book called Airplane.
Fuck you about a boy. Vinny's eating a plane.
I did see a video. I did see a movie called Airplane, but it didn't really inspire me to do anything.
No.
Yeah, I know. You ate a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Here's the guy. Like this cleaner.
Okay.
Sorry, we're going back to the prank call.
You're welcome to the Glitch 420 show.
Bro, why don't you get these guys to stop calling you? It's annoying.
Yeah, I know. These douchebags calling me.
Yeah, you should. Well, can you do anything about it? Can you screen your calls or something?
You know what? I'm gonna start a Patreon account.
Yeah, you're gonna make $2.
We're gonna get some funding for the show, and I'm gonna have a call screener. You know,
seriously, that would be you could totally use that because, you know what I mean? Like you'll actually get people who call you. That's not just a bunch of douchebags. Gig
is on a message board. And for some reason, he found that amusing.
What is up with these giggers?
Hey, man, don't say the G word.
So how's your day going?
It's fine. I'm just chilling watching the show. So, I mean, the first couple were funny, but they just get a little annoying after a bit,
Yeah. I think one's calling in right now, but I'm gonna stay on the line with you.
Is this guy drinking while he does this show?
Yeah, I think I can. Here we go.
All right, so there's a little pause here. I'm going to skip forward. Do do do.
You got both of us on now?
Yeah, I think so.
So my voice changed.
I can't believe it. This is a show?
I don't hear the other guy.
Yeah. Nope, two people watching it.
Is that other guy calling?
Makes me feel so much better.
Who's this guy? I don't like that fucking guy. Why don't you stop calling in and bothering this guy? He's just trying to do his show. I mean, I know you're funny at the beginning, but now you're acting like a prick.
Dude, everything that Trey does in 3.0 is better than anything he did in 1.0 or 2.0.
Trey's a faggot. Bob Weir wipes his ass with Trey's face.
Glaze, how big is your cock?
How big is your cock?
9 inches hard.
Bullshit.
That's bullshit. Where's the roller coaster video?
Hey, you guys ever done any docking?
I'm listening to rat right
don't,
now.
Don't look that up right
no,
now.
No, docking.
I'm not.
No, docking. I mean, like, both guys. When one guy doesn't have foreskin and the other guy doesn't.
Oh, dear God, he's explaining it.
How could you not? How can you remain soft when you got a hard dick right near you?
No. I'm hard as fuck. No, I'm saying that both of you guys, you got a hard foreskin, and you don't. And then he puts his foreskin over your head of your cock, and you both jack like you come together, and that's docking. And then you mix it up.
Wow. TMI.
You ever put your dick through one of those holes and the.
I have.
All right. Hey, you guys can call each other.
I have. Jesus. Credit to whoever that other fellow was. I can't say his name. Because he has a real life. Oh, man. So, Vinny, before we wrap the show, I want to hear all about this wrestling league. I've seen you on Twitter. By the way, how can people follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at Vince Bucci, VinceBucci.
So your dad has Vinny.
Yes.
So you had to use Vince.
Exactly. Well, also, I went by Vince when I first, for a long time in my life, I went by Vince because, You know, when I was a kid, you know, like most kids, you know, you get picked on, but so many words rhyme with Vinny. I was just like, I'm going to go with Vince and be safe when I moved to Jersey. So I stayed Vince for a long time, and it wasn't until I joined the regular guys that I went by Vinny.
Okay.
Because you guys all started calling me Vinny Bucci every day.
Oh, I thought that was your name from the comedy world.
Well, it wasn't, but it became my name because when you guys kept calling me Vinny, it just stuck with everyone. So I said, you know what? I'm going to, you know, I'm thinking, you know what, I'm like 23 now, so it's, you know, I'm past that point or so I thought. So I'll go back to Vinny. And, you know, some people still called me Vince for a while, but eventually I told everybody I'm Vinny now.
I'm going to call you Vince from now on.
You can go ahead. That's cool.
I'm going to call you Vincenzo.
Vincenzo.
I appreciate it.
Okay. So talk about the event.
I've been working recently, I got asked to be part of a wrestling company here in Atlanta called Universal Championship Wrestling.
Okay.
And it's run by a gentleman named Ronnie Gossett, and I met him about 4 years ago. He was doing a charity event in McDonough, and I met him through a comedian friend of mine who was running the Cycle Nation. So I talked to him on the phone for about an hour because I heard Buff Bagwell was going to be at a show, and I wanted to interview him for the Boochcast. So we talked for about an hour. And
I'm assuming he's fit.
Yes. And he said, absolutely. So I got Buff's number. I interviewed him on the Boochcast. And then after a couple of years, we kind of lost contact. And then recently he called me and said, you know, I've been taking a break, but I'm getting back into the wrestling business. And I want you to work with me. And, you know, we're going to be taping some shows for Fight TV. And I'm looking for a commentator. I would love for you to have the job. And I said, great. So
you have a job now with them.
Yes.
A paid job.
It's not a salary job, but it is a paid job. Yes.
Yeah, but you make money for it.
I did make money
for
this. Yes.
Good for you. That's good. I'm not joking. I'm glad to hear that you get paid for doing something.
Oh, I do. Me too. And it was funny because we didn't even talk about money. I didn't even get.
No, because you love it. You don't. Yeah, you're like, I'll take whatever.
I didn't know I was getting paid until the day of the last. We did a show back in April.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, he gave me like $250, and I was like, holy crap. I was like, thank you.
Shit.
I was like, I didn't even know I was getting paid.
Time to go to Backpage.
Exactly. So
now that's the way to do it, honestly.
I know. Backpage is great. Why did they get rid of it? You know, the government shut it down. How are you supposed to find these like $100 whores? Right, Vinny?
Exactly.
Now, was he mad when you ate the $250?
No.
No. That's what I do.
Well, I just eat shit. I eat inanimate shit.
Why are you chewing on the $10 bill?
I'm hungry, fucker.
I haven't eaten all day. I literally hadn't. So, but yeah, so, and now we're doing a big show this coming Saturday. We're going to be at the Cobb County Civic Center in Marietta, Georgia. It's called Memorial Mayhem.
Let me see that poster.
We got the poster
unless
right here.
You don't
here.
Have it memorized.
I do. So yeah, it's at the Cobb County Civic Center this Saturday
Ricky
night.
Ricky the Steamboat Dragon.
We got Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's going to be there. The Hurricane, Shane Helms, is going to be there. We got Buff Bagwell, Carlito. Some people might remember him from the early 2000s in WWE. He was the one that he would bite the apple, spit in the guy's face, and go, I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. We originally had Jack Swagger, but we had to replace him.
So,
and recently, and this is another big thing, about a week ago, he's not on the poster, but we just signed Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner is coming to the show now.
Oh, wow.
And
that is big news, man.
Yes. And this is not set in stone yet, but we're in talks. Scott Hall might be making a cameo appearance.
The bad guy?
Yes, the bad guy.
That's right.
Yeah, he's doing some collaborations with a toy company, and he's
Scott Hall is one of the nicest wrestlers I've ever met, bar none.
He's
absolutely one of the nicest guys. He was on the show, and it was just fantastic, the old radio show. Who's this guy here? I remember
that
him.
That is Teddy Long.
Teddy Long.
He's going to be our guest general manager for the night.
Nice.
So Ronnie Goss is going to put him in charge of all the fun.
So if you are a fan of wrestling and you're a fan of old school WCW, WWE, whatever the fuck they call it now, this is going to be a lot of fun. And I'm sure it's affordable, and I'm sure it's a fun night.
Yes, we got general admission tickets right now. If you go to www.ucwtv.com, the current general admission tickets are $15.
Yeah.
Ringside's about $25.
Can't beat that.
VIP is like $45.50. So basically, the same amount of money you would pay to sit in the upper deck of the Phillips Arena at SmackDown gets you front row seats at this show, and you get access to the building 30 minutes before everybody else. And you get a chance to meet every superstar. Everybody's got a merchandise table. You can shake their hands, take a picture, buy their merchandise.
And watch matches.
And watch matches, yes.
So are there any young guys in this who have dreams of going to WWF or whatever?
I don't know on this particular show, but I know we got...
WWE, I know.
Yeah. I know on the next show we got in June, we got a lot of young guys coming through there.
All right.
I know for this show...
So you
show,
do these shows quite a bit?
Yes.
And you work and you do commentary?
Yes.
That's awesome. Just say again where you can watch it.
Well, it's going to be on Fight TV soon. It hasn't aired yet. We're still taping it. But you can come to the Cobb County Civic Center this Saturday night. Doors open at 6:30. Bell time
that
is 7:30 p.m.
Saturday the
26th of May.
26th of May, okay.
Yes. For Memorial Mayhem, and like I said, you can buy your tickets. You can buy them at the door, but they'll be a little bit more. They'll cost a little bit more at the door, but it's not going to be insane. Mm-hmm. They just go up like $5 a show. But if you go to ucwtv.com, you can order them online right now, and at the prices I just mentioned. And also, if you have a children 6 through 12, it costs $7. If you have a child under 6, they get in absolutely free.
Fucking cool, man.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, so if you got like a 5-year-old, you don't want to leave him at home, bring him to the show. He gets in absolutely free. Just got to pay for your ticket.
Perfect. I like that a lot, man. Good luck with all of that, man.
Thank you.
We could talk for an hour, but I do have to get out of here in a little bit, so... Vinny Bucci, former regular guy's intern, but much more than that. He is a comedian, still doing stand-up?
Yes, I haven't been on stage as often. The last show I did was about a month ago. I went to New Orleans for WrestleMania, so mm-hmm. I did some stand-up out there.
You did open mic?
Yeah, it was an open mic.
How'd you do?
Great.
Awesome.
Loved it. It was great. I did a couple practice shows before I went out there because I haven't been on stage in a while, mm-hmm. and there was some old material that I do, but I wanted to make sure it was perfect before I went to New Orleans. And
well, let us know when you're doing stand up around town, and we'll promote it on the show. Okay,
absolutely.
The very least we'll do is tweet it or put it on Facebook.
Appreciate it.
Also, Vinny's eating a car, so look out for that. Check
where
out.
Where can people find your podcast?
Yeah,
you can go to SoundCloud.com/Boochcast, BOOCHCAST, and. And I know we've been talking. This word has come up quite a lot, but we're in the process of putting a Patreon account together ourselves.
Awesome.
So definitely
get an RSS feed so you can get on iTunes.
I will absolutely.
Somebody knows how to do that.
Yes,
I'm gonna find serious because that's how your thing goes.
Yeah, I need to learn how to do iTunes, but yeah, absolutely, I want to get it on there.
Hey, do you have any questions for Vinny Autumn?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You can use this thing called Cameo. The website's called bookcameo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can search for people like celebrities and you can hire them for like $5. No. I guess it depends on how.
Hey, why don't you figure out how it works?
Well, no, I'm just saying it depends on how popular they are. I know you have to be somewhere, but you can go on there and you can ask them to. Say something, anything.
Oh, they'll do liners for you.
Yeah, yeah. And so maybe Vinny, you could pay like I was looking it up, Brett the Hitman Hart.
Oh my God!
But you can ask him to say something for you, and he'll do it.
That's pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Hey,
Vinny, it's $100. Hold on.
Did you get a staff? Did you bring a staff pick for tonight? Something
yes.
You would recommend? All right, hang on to that. We're gonna do that in a second. I'm gonna say mine. I'm gonna go piss when I'm done saying mine. Then Jeff, you go. My staff pick is real simple. This week's episode of Gilbert Gottfried's amazing Colossal podcast features one of my favorite actors. I'm sure Jeff loves him as well. Keith Carradine. And he talks briefly about his brother, a lot about his father, about some of his other brothers, and certainly his acting career and getting started with Robert Altman films. And, of course, Gilbert and Frank know everything.
Frank knows everything.
Frank knows everything.
Gilbert can barely pronounce the word mattress.
Yeah. But Frank Santopadre is really the host of the show. But anyway.
Frank's my personal hero.
So check that out at wherever you find podcasts. And Jeff, go.
Mine is the Steve Martin and Martin Short special. It's going to be on Netflix on the 25th. They came through town with this show, and tickets were just so expensive that I couldn't go. But they recorded it. I don't think they recorded the one here, but... this little tour that they did. It's called the Netflix special is called Steve Martin and Martin Short, An Evening You Will Forget for the Rest of Your Life.
That's fun. My friend Michelle went to see that, I think, in Chattanooga.
Yeah, the tickets here at the Fox Theater were real pricey, so I didn't get to go, but I wanted to. So I'm glad
that
they
come out on Netflix?
The 25th.
Okay.
So probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, it'll be out.
Nice.
Autumn, what's yours? Yep.
Mine? I knew about this for a long time, and I just remembered it existed. Have you heard of Djibouti Dubs?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, on YouTube. It's done by the South Park people. It's not always Trey and Matt, but it's other voices and other people, and they take infomercials, and they really have gone into that lady with, like, the red hair.
The copper pan lady?
Yeah, the copper pan lady. She's what she does it. She
hey, what the fuck ate your girl? Yeah. Everybody already know is bigger is better, and y'all love my red copper pants so much, I made it 50% bigger. Just look at all that bread. That's a big bread.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so keep going.
Go check out Djibouti Dubs. You'll I'm gonna fall check into that out. A YouTube
Tim,
hole.
Tim used to do a similar thing where he would turn the sound down on Sanford and Son and then just act out all the dialogue.
When was that?
When we were kids.
I'm sure it wasn't racist.
No, it wasn't racist.
It really
at
wasn't,
all.
I bet. I'm sure it was just goofy voices.
Yeah.
Then don't say it that way, like, I'm sure it wasn't racist. Oh, I'm serious.
Well, you said we were little kids, not teenagers. Vinny, go. Sure.
My staff pick, I got to talk about this. I'm excited. It's going to be in about a month, but June 29th, the season 2 premiere of Glow is going to be on Netflix.
Yeah,
we all love that
Glow
show.
Glow is so fucking good.
Yeah.
That show is amazing. Like, so I mean, fun. And it's great because even though, like, it's a fictional TV show and it's loosely based on the real Glow,
right.
A lot of it is just, it's the best. If for people who don't understand the wrestling business, it really educates you. And what I love most about it is the fact that you got the two girls that are best friends who hate each other because you know the whole husband thing where she's banging the husband.
Right.
What's great about it is you see them, you know, put aside their differences to work together in the ring, and that is something that happens in professional wrestling almost every day.
Well, did you watch the Andre the Giant documentary?
I'm halfway done with it.
So good.
Okay, yeah, I won't spoil it then because there's a part where he talks about working with Hogan, and you know when he was the one that put Hogan over
yes.
and made him the greatest of all time. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and what's great about it is the fact, because that's the thing, you have to take care of, the thing about wrestling is there's a code of honor that mm-hmm. That if you break, it will blackball you in the wrestling industry. Is no matter what personal issues you are having with a wrestler, if you have a personal issue, you fight it out in the locker room or the parking lot or whatever. But if you have to work a match with that guy, you take care of him no matter what. I don't care if he spit in your wife's face 5 minutes before the show.
You put the guy over.
You put the guy over, but you don't injure him. Don't take special liberties. There's only one exception to that rule where you're allowed to hit somebody for real in the ring.
Well, when you're
Red Undertaker, dropped the Mankind 25 feet from the turn.
Yes.
Well, the rule is if they don't sell for you.
Ah.
Like, that's a rule you're allowed to. Like, I remember Gator told me a story a while back when he was managing. He was a manager that had a cane. So when the ref's not looking, he's supposed to hit the guy with the cane, knock him out. So he hits him, like, not hard, but hard enough to make a point, you know. He hits him. Guy does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Hits him again. Guy does nothing. Hits him a third time. Guy does nothing. Gator at this point is so pissed, he swings this over his head like a golf club and hits him square in the back of the head with everything he had, and the dude fell dropped like a sack of potatoes. And the guy had no choice. The wrestler had to cover him 1, 2, 3. That was it.
Wow.
And the fans, even there were little kids in the audience that were like in shock because they'd never seen a wrestler go down like that. 5 minutes later, that dude, Gator and him, got into a shouting match in the locker room, and Gator said something to him that we use as a catchphrase on the Boochcast all the time. He goes, "I can't believe you did it." And Gator goes, "Next time, you sell my shit. You sell my shit." And then all the wrestlers got up and said, "You need to back away from Gator right now," because they respected him in that locker room.
So season two of Glow comes out
June 29th.
Any more nudity, Jeff?
I imagine there will be. I don't think they've said anything yet.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Who's Alison Brie?
No.
Who are we talking about?
Mark Maron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
You want to see that Mark Maron cack?
Yeah. What the fuckers?
Hey, it's only a matter of time before that happens.
What the fuckers? Fuckerinos? What the fuckers? You guys want to listen to Jared's raw audio before we split?
Yes.
It's time Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effing Ira Malkin.
Nice.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effin Ira Malkin.
Yeah, the first
you
one.
You shouldn't say effin.
Why?
You should say fucking.
Fucking Ira
well,
Malkin.
Well, I wanted to.
Jared's a nice boy. He doesn't talk
I don't like
that.
To put those bad words in Jared's mouth.
Read Steph's staff pick, too, real quick.
Oh, yeah. What is her staff pick?
The Wonderland Murders podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's about the John Holmes thing?
The Wonderland Murders podcast is available at iTunes, and I do believe, I don't know, John Holmes was involved with it, yeah. So, and the people that do this, this podcast have done some of the others that we've recommended in the past, true crime, but Hollywood related. Yeah, I think they did Young Charlie. So check it out. It's called The Wonderland Murders, and that's kind of cool. So, Vinny, thank you very much for being on the show this week. We'll have you on again.
Absolutely.
Love to have you back in a couple
months.
Yeah,
when you finish that car, come back and...
And anytime you have something that you want to promote or you got this wrestling thing, maybe we can get some of these guys on at some point.
That'd be awesome.
Let's stay in touch. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I really, like I said, we've been wanting to do this for a long time, and yeah. I'm very excited that I finally got to be on the show with
I'm
you guys.
I'm excited that you came on, man. Thank you. And I always enjoyed you on the show, the old show. Until next week, Stephanie will be back. And until that time, please remember to
keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.